crying before I get up here. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. We'll see if I'm back or not. Time will tell, right? Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You today that we have Your word in our hands. We thank You, Lord, that we can gather freely. We have been so blessed in this country to be Christians in this nation and the opportunity. We thank You, Lord, for what You've given to us and our fellowship around the Word of God and our fellowship with other believers that are like-minded. We do give You thanks this day. I ask You to give me a freedom and ease to speak and the strength that I need, that I might do Your will and Your word might go out with power. And Lord, we give You honor and glory for it. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I never will forget how this verse struck me when I first realized what it said. I was a new believer and I was reading the Word of God. And I wanted some authority. I wanted to understand it. I believe this book was the Word of God, and I wanted to understand it. I wanted to know what it had to say. I want to know where the authority was. Where do you draw your lines? Where do you say this is the truth and that is error? Well, you know, they had a little harder problem back in Isaiah's day, but they had quite a bit of the Word of God already written. All of the books of Moses were written. Most of the history books were written. Some of the prophets were written. And Isaiah, you know, he's about 700-800 years before Christ. And there were a lot of wizards and seers and prophets and soothsayers. You know, we got them around here all the time. You got them, you just drive around this town, you'll see, boy, we'll read your palm for you, or we'll do this, or we'll speak to the dead for you. We'll get a hold of Grandpa and see what he has to say. They're all around. They're still here. They haven't disappeared. And if you don't want to go by and see them, you can't. There are people that believe in them. Some of our presidents even believed in them. I mean, they called them in on the side. You know, not openly where you'd know that much about it, but man, these reporters, they find out everything. He says right here, how do you know when you got these familiar spirits and wizards and those that seek and those that peep? How do you know when they're telling you the truth? How do you have any gauge to gauge it by? He said, okay, to the law, that's 5 books of Moses, and to the testimony, that's your Psalms, and that's some of your things of Solomon, the Proverbs, you had them. You had a lot of Psalms, Proverbs. You had Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. He said, take a look at them. Take a look at the Word of God. You know what he's told you? There is a standard for truth. The standard for truth is the written Word of God. You know, that's still our standard for truth. I'm glad I've got a standard. I'm glad I've got something I can measure things up. Because there's lots of different opinions out in this world today. Just go out and knock on a few doors and talk to people about what they believe. Man, when it comes to politics or it comes to religion, it comes to almost anything else, you've got an awful lot of opinions out there. How do you know who's right? How do you know who's wrong? Well, we've got a standard. He said, take them back to the book. Now, this cuts some lines. This separates family. This separates friends. This separates nations. Come on back to the book. Where are we going to say, you know what you could do? You can go around this town to preacher after preacher, church after church, religious leader after religious leader, and take them back to the book and find how many of them match up. You see, we do have a standard. We have something we can go back to, and God gave us something there. And I mean, that was a comfort to me. That was a comfort to me. I found something I could believe in. Now, I'm very much of a skeptic. I'm very much of a doubter. People tell me things, I say, oh, no, man, I don't believe that. I have a hard time believing anybody's guarantee. Oh, we'll 100% lead pipe cinch locked in, guarantee your money back. Well, every time you try to get your money back, see how easy it is. On all these lead pipe cents, solid guarantee, money back. But I came to the place I believed this book changed my life. I got saved and that changed my life. And I guess that was believing what this book had said. But I didn't know much about the book. But as I began to read it and see what God said on one thing or another, all of a sudden I found out there are some lines to be drawn. There are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. And you ought to take a stand on the right things. Yeah. Well, now that's the Old Testament. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 20, and verse 32. Look what Paul says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." I commend you to God and to the word of grace, word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul has come back to the Ephesian church, and he's talking to them. And he doesn't believe he's ever going to see him again. This is his last trip to Ephesus. This is last time these guys are ever going to see his face. And he says there are going to be a lot of problems coming in. You know, every once in a while people say, well, I don't want to be in this church because they got problems. Any church that stands for the truth got problems. If you got one with no problems, it's one, probably one full of the devil. I'll tell you what, any place you've got truth, you're going to have problems. And the devil's going to attack you. He's going to attack you physically. He's going to attack you spiritually. He's going to attack you mentally. He might attack you financially. If you stand for truth, if you stand for God, you might as well expect some attacks.
True.
All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. Well, he tells them they're going to have all these problems. He said, after these things, wolves are going to come in. There are going to be people rising up themselves trying to draw people out after them. There are going to be people that are going to be telling you all sorts of things, and you're going to have all sorts of troubles. So he said, watch. I warned you. And then he says, what can I leave you with? I'm leaving. I'm not going to be here. Letters take a long time. Used to, when we were right to Poland, it'd be about 3 months. Take about 6 weeks to get there, and if they answered it the first week they got it, and they sent it back, it'd be 3 months. Now we get them a whole lot faster with email today. I mean, the email is a fantastic thing. But I don't know how long it took. It might have taken a year in Paul's day. If the letter ever got there, it might be a year late, and no telling when it would come back. So Paul's giving them, what have I got to give you? What have I got to lay at your side as a ruler? What have I got to lay as a standard? Where is your help going to come from? He says, I commend you to God, to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. The Old Testament, the New Testament, both of them give you the same standard, the word of God. Now, that gives me a great deal of comfort, but there's one problem with it. You got to know the word. You know the problem in most Christian churches today? People that have gone to Sunday school and church all their lives don't know their Bibles. The little quarterly things they get, the things that they're passed out and they're taught, and watered down teaching so that you don't offend anybody, don't hurt anybody's feelings. And people can stay 30 years in the church and still be ignorant baby Christians. Your only hope is this word. You don't know the word, you don't have much hope. You can't trust a preacher. There are a bunch of sorry preachers in the world.
That's right. Amen.
Not all preachers are good guys. Not all preachers are looking out for your good. Not all of them are going to give you the truth and give you the right thing. They're going to give you what benefits them and what is in their best interest. You've got a standard. Old Testament, New Testament, standard's the same. It's the Word of God. You can check your habits. You can check your practices. You can check your doctrine. You can go to the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says, and this is what it teaches.
Amen.
And then you've got something to base something on. You're not left with every dynamic speaker or teacher that comes along who has a new idea. You've got a foundation. But the problem is, do you know the Word well enough to know a heretic when you hear one? Do you? Some of you don't read your Bibles. You don't want to know bad enough. Well, I'll trust Brother Kincaid. Well, hey, for about 2 months, Brother Kincaid's been gone. You heard of a lost weekend? I had a lost month or two. I'm telling you what. Hey, man, I had to be close to death. My heart was stopped for about 4 hours while they took it out of me. You know, propped my ribs up here like this, like Gates, and turned it over and worked on it and fixed it while my blood's being pumped by something else. Stick it back in there and I'm alive. That's a miracle. Shoo, that's something else. Sort of like a resurrection. I was dead and I'm alive. Huh? My heart stopped for several hours and now it's pumping again. We'll see how long it keeps going. You know something? You need to know the Word of God, and you need to know it for yourself.
Amen.
The only way you're going to know it is it's a big book. Take you a little while. You read about 3 or 4 chapters a day, you'll read it through in a year. Well, you need to be reading it all that. But you know, you're too busy with the movie magazines. Shape magazines. Maybe Time and Life and something else. Maybe you're too busy listening to all the newscasts, wondering how many people are dead in Iraq. Well, let me tell you something. We'll probably lose more soldiers in auto accidents here in the United States than we've lost in Iraq.
Right.
Every year. Every year. I'm sorry for every soldier that dies. I'm sorry for everyone that gets wounded or hurt. I hate war. But the truth is, we haven't lost that many soldiers in this battle that we're going on. They just played up a whole lot. And boy, we got it all on our minds. You know something? You're going to have to fight, and you're not going to get out of it. And if you don't fight, somebody's going to run over you.
Right.
And if you don't stand up for the truth, somebody's going to run over you.
Amen.
If you don't know your Bible, and you don't know the truth of God, and you don't know the truth about salvation, and you don't know what God has to say on certain things, people are going to run over you. You need the defense of the Word of God.
Amen.
My, you ought to be Bible readers.
Amen.
You ought to be studying the Word of God. Like I said, I'm thankful. But you know, as I think of the many, many doctrines that the Bible teaches us and the things that we have, there's one that I especially am thankful for. Look at Acts 13 with me. Acts 13, 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Now, I've met a few people in my preaching that said they didn't have any sin. I've met a few people. Good little girls, good little boys, you know. They've never done anything wrong. I mean, they just don't think that they possibly could have any sin, especially that God would be mad at. But you know, I can go into prison and tell that man, no matter what he's done, Jesus can forgive your sins. Man, you talk about a message. That's a message. When I look back on my life and I say Jesus can forgive all my sins, what a blessing. I don't know how you felt. I don't know how you felt before you came to God. I knew I was a sinner. Some of you might have thought you were so good you didn't need any salvation. I didn't think that. I wondered if I'd possibly make it if I died. I mean, I had this buddy of mine die on my truck in my run. And I sure hoped he was saved. And I got to thinking about that. Where would I be if I'd have taken that truck and that run and the same thing had happened to me? I knew I was a sinner. I knew I'd been rebellious from the time I came out of the womb. Some of you just like me.
Right.
Stubborn, hard-headed.
Right.
Fight your way everywhere you go. Oh, yeah. I needed a Savior.
Amen.
Now, when we come with a holy God, think about the concept that He's given us right here. We have a holy God that's so holy He cannot look upon sin. We have a God so holy that a sinner cannot walk into His presence. We have a God so holy, He hates sin with a passion. How are you going to get forgiven? And why in the world would that God ever want to forgive you? What do you have that God wants? What do you have that you can bargain with God? You don't have anything. You don't have anything. And the idea, you know, I sort of like these hangman judges. You know, they say, boy, that's a hanging judge, and everybody goes before him. He doesn't have any mercy. I really don't think the law ought to have a whole lot of mercy.
That's right. Amen.
If the law has mercy, well, that... there's no room for justice.
That's right.
Good point.
And so I'm sort of like judges like that. But you know, when I walk up before them and I'm guilty, that's bad news. That's bad news. He's not going to give me any mercy. He's not going to slide my ticket by. Nobody wins in corporation court. You go into corporation court, guilty, guilty, guilty. Get a lawyer and get you a court trial. That's the only way you're going to come out of it. Because corporation court, you're guilty, guilty, guilty. How about this holy God? How about this God that is so holy? How about this God that's so big He can just speak these worlds into existence? We haven't found the end of the universe yet with all the greatest telescopes of the greatest minds. The greatest minds cannot fathom how God created all these different things. It's fascinating to me.
Amen.
God's smart, God's big,
right.
And God is holy.
Right.
And to think that this book right here that I have in my hand says there is forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
There is forgiveness. Now for you to ignore forgiveness and just walk away from it and say, I don't want it. Boy, that's foolishness. And yet most people do that. When they hear the gospel, they say, no, that's not for me. I don't want that. He said, through this man there is forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Now I want you to know how that comes about. You can read about it in the book of Romans. But in the third chapter of the book of Romans, it tells us very simply that we are not justified by our own works or by our keeping of the law. It tells us that Jesus Christ died in our place as our substitute, the perfect man for sinful men, and therefore He died in my place. I don't have to die. So through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness with God. You can actually be forgiven through this man. But I want to tell you something else. There's no other way to be forgiven. Out of all the ideas and the religions of the world that are out there, according to this book, they're all wrong. You try to go to God through Mary, you won't make it. You try to go to God through Buddha or Mohammed, you won't make it. There is one man, one name given among men, and it's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You see, He's the only one that died in your place and paid your debt, and through Him you have access to God. There is forgiveness with God, but it's only through Jesus Christ. You come through Jesus Christ, you've got acceptance and entrance. What a beautiful thing. You see, I don't have any rights in heaven. I look up there and that's God. He's way far away. He's big. He's holy. He's all powerful. And I'm just a worm of a sinner. But Jesus Christ is His Son. Jesus Christ is the one perfect man who fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle. Didn't leave a thing out. And in His perfection, He offered Himself as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And while He's on the cross of Calvary, you hear His words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because you see, God turned His back on His own Son. He made Him to be sin. He was no sinner. But He made Him to be sin, my sin, your sin. Laid it on Him. And because He paid that debt, my debt's paid. Now then, through Jesus Christ, I have access to this holy God. There is forgiveness of sin. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy, Paul said, I'm the pattern. God made me the pattern. I want you to think about that for a minute. God made me the pattern. The pattern of sinners being forgiven. What kind of man's Paul? He's a murderer. He's an assassin. He's a blasphemer. He hated the name of Christ. You think there's anybody worse running around out there today? I don't think so. Not even some of your vile, wicked sinners that have done horrible things. You see, he actually was fighting against God with all the purpose of his being, with all the wisdom of his intellect, with all the energy of his life. He was fighting against God and fighting against the name of Jesus Christ. He said he consented to the death of Stephen. And God forgave him. God chased him down on the Damascus Road, struck him blind and struck him to the ground, and told him who he was. Why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What a wonderful thing. Do you know I didn't seek God? Oh, I did a little religious things. I went to church every so often. I listened to preachers. I even quoted Scripture. I memorized Scripture. I even read my Bible. Had a Bible. Church member. But I wasn't seeking God. You know what? I didn't want God controlling my life. I didn't want Him telling me what to do every time I turned around. I didn't want Him taking away all the fun out of life. I wasn't seeking God. But you know, God was seeking me. God was seeking me. God came to me through different areas and through different avenues. And different people came and talked to me. I remember out on the base, had these two Pentecostal preachers. And they would come after me. Hey, Kincaid, thought about the Lord lately? And I'd tell them a dirty joke. They'd shake their heads at me, shake their hand at me. Man, you're in bad shape. I had to go tell those guys and I got saved. Hey, man, I got saved. Oh, they rejoiced with me. They jumped up and shouted and had a happy time. Oh, yeah, see, I got witnessed to by a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. God chased me. I didn't chase God. God brought things into my life to make me think about Him. God brought circumstances into my life to make me want Him. God is in the business of forgiving sinners. That's a great revelation. That is a great truth. God wants to forgive your sins. You may be sitting here this morning I don't know how religious you are or irreligious, but you're here and you don't have peace in your heart. You don't know that you're forgiven, and you're not. Oh, but you can be. You can be. Because you see, God made a way on the cross of Calvary. The great truth that it's not joining a church or being baptized or turning over a new leaf or living a good life or quitting smoking, drinking, cussing, or gambling. It's taking Christ as your substitute. Trusting Him and Him alone for your salvation. That's the way you get saved. It all depends on the merits of Christ. As they sang in the song, one day I'm going to lay it all down at His feet. Because He did it all. He loved me and He sought me and He saved me and He forgave me. What a beautiful thing. I'm glad I've got that to preach. I'm glad it's clear in this book. Oh, listen to me. I think about King David. How long has it been since you read Psalm 51? Oh, David committed some terrible sins. He committed some awful sins. And yet we find him in Psalm 51 confessing to God and seeking God and knowing he's going to be forgiven by God. And what forgiveness there can be. Praise God for forgiveness. The old thief on the cross. A lot of the people that believe in baptismal regeneration like to say the thief is an exception. I don't think the thief is an exception. I think he's the rule. Amen. Why would God make an exception at the focal point of all history? Everything in the Old Testament points toward the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Everything in the New Testament looks back to the cross of Calvary. You don't know when you did need to begin your dating on the cross of Calvary. Not necessarily the birth of Jesus. The cross of Calvary breaks history in two. And here we have Jesus Christ hanging between two thieves. This thief is never going to give any money to the church. This thief is never going to preach the gospel. This thief is never going to be a missionary. This thief is never going to be a pastor. This thief is never going to be a father. Never going to be a helper. Never going to be a Sunday school teacher. He's never going to do anything for God. That blows all your works right out of the thing. Here's the example. And all he says is, Lord. He calls him Lord. That must have been the acknowledging thing. Lord, Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He's a king. I believe he's Lord. I believe he's king. I believe he's coming to this kingdom. And listen to Jesus, what he said. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woo-hoo. Hey man, I know that one got saved. I've seen a lot of people said they got saved. I wasn't sure whether they got it or not, but I believe that one got saved.
Amen.
Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, I don't know. We've got lots of troubles in this life. I'm thankful that I've been through a bad trouble and it seems like I'm coming out the other end of it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I might not have come out of it. You see, in this life there's a lot of sickness and death. There are a lot of accidents. There are people out there with tragedy today. Just they're brokenhearted with tragedies in their home. Some of you in here are sick and you don't know what's wrong with you. Some of you got troubles that they're overwhelming you. And God doesn't answer all those things. He doesn't heal everybody. And He doesn't give everybody money. And doesn't give everybody the great job. Doesn't do it. Doesn't happen that way. But you know what the beautiful thing about this gospel is? It's about eternity. I don't know how I'm going to live this life here, but I'm going to spend eternity with God.
Amen.
Eternity with a new body and a new mind in fellowship with God. The most beautiful thing about the gospel and the Word of God is the promise of eternal life. That's why forgiveness is so important. You don't stand a chance without forgiveness of your sins. But with your sins forgiven and acceptance by God, you get saved and you're going to live with God forever. Now every prayer He answers for you down here, that's gravy. Everything that He does for you, every time He heals you, every time He brings you out of your troubles, and He says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up.
Amen.
Yeah, you're going to go through some troubles, and you're going to fall. Some things are going to go bad for you. They're not all going to go smooth and easy and good. But God's going to keep coming back, see, and God's going to come to you. And every time God brings you out of a trouble, you ought to thank God.
Amen.
And just consider that an addition. Consider that candy. Consider that a favor on top of things. Because the number one thing is your sins are forgiven and your soul is saved. You're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. That old thief on the cross, what a beautiful testimony. Here's a man dying. He confesses he's dying justly. I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. I'm here because I was wrong. I'm here because I'm a thief. I'm here because I'm a murderer. I'm here because I'm rebelling against society. Yes. And Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
I want you to know, one of the beautiful promises in this book I have in my hands is there's forgiveness with God.
Amen.
Have you thanked God for forgiveness lately?
Amen.
Have you got out on your knees and said, God, thank you that I'm forgiven? And when your mind has gone bad and your hands have done wrong, have you gotten down and said, Lord, forgive me? Oh, you need to. You need to keep clear communication between you and God. He said forgiveness. That's a beautiful thing. Look, if you will, back at Isaiah chapter 1. And verse 18. Something else I'm thankful for, this great God, this mighty God, this powerful God, this all-wise God, this holy God. He says to you, verse 18, Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is willing to reason with you.
Amen.
God's willing to come down and listen to your reasonings. God comes down and said, listen, here's what I offer you. Here's the blessing that I give you. Here's the promise that I make to you. Here is what I've done for you. I'll tell you what. I tell people to read the Bible every once in a while and see if God isn't talking to them. God talks to me through the book.
Amen.
Sure does. Oh, God speaks to my mind sometime. And you know what? He's reasoning. Let's reason together. What is more valuable to you than eternal life? What is more valuable to you than to be forgiven? What is more valuable to you than to have the truth? Reason with me. Think with me. Is that better job more important? That new house, that's more important. That new car, you think that's more important? I read somewhere in a survey that of all the inventions and all the electronic things and everything that's been in our generation, the majority of the people are more thankful for their cell phone. We are a bunch of talkers, I guess. If you ask me, electricity is the greatest thing to come around. Electricity, but cell phone. Well, let me tell you what. Your cell phone doesn't compare to forgiveness of sins.
That's right.
Your cell phone doesn't compare to having eternity with God in heaven and missing hell.
Amen. That's right.
Come reason with me, God says. Reason with me. Think this through. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God is in the business of forgiving sinners and saving souls, and He'll do it today. If you're not saved, get saved.
Right.
If you are saved, fall on your face and thank God for being saved.
Right.
Turn to number 249. And let's stand and sing number 249.